Track 1, Gwaen Rupera Car Park.
Llantrysyn is celebrated really for its incredible vantage point on these lofty hills here overlooking the Vale of Glamorgan, and also for its celebrated past. You know, for 1,300 years people have resided in Llantrysyn. It's a magnificent little town really in South Wales, a jewel in South Wales for its historic merit. It's the place where there's been exiled kings of England and pioneers of cremation, bloodthirsty battles and wonderful, quirky, eccentric characters, big quarrelsome families that all really combine to create a magnificent community, I think, that really has nestled itself within these historic buildings and events and are very much part of the fabric of Llantrysyn today.
During our short walk today, we will explore the village's rich heritage and hear about some of those characters, courtesy of local residents, including Dean Powell, whose family have lived here for over 500 years.
Llantry Sant, as the very word suggests, is the parish of the three saints. Our three saints are Illtyd, Gwenno and Dyfodwg. And it would have had this name from the monasteries of Llantwyd Major when the monks came here and brought Christianity to this town after the Celts themselves had started to wane, I think, as a society, and Christianity came to these shores. And that's really the origins of the name of Llantrysyn. And it's a wonderful representation, really, of the Christian faith coming here well over 1,000 years ago.
Before we move to our next stop, to learn about one of Llantrysant's most famous sons, take a moment to look at the information board while Dean tells a small tale about one of the town's minor celebrities.
It's said that the shortest recorded man in the world came from the vicinity of Llantrysant's ancient borough, not necessarily from the old town itself, but from one of the neighbouring farms. His name was Hopkin Hopkins, and when he died in 1785, he was 2'7" tall. In fact, his outfits can still be seen in St Fagan's Museum of Welsh Life.
From the Heritage Trails Information Board, exit the car park via the three steps. Turn left and head uphill to the bullring. Take care and watch for traffic as there are narrow pavements. Listen to track 2 beside the statue. Track 2, Dr. William Price.
Well, we're now on the bullring and standing by the statue of Dr. William Price, said to be the only statue in the world to a druid. Now, Dr. William Price only lived his last 20 years here in Llantrysant, but of course he's known throughout the world because of a significant event that happened right opposite the bullring, in fact. You can see the mounting on the horizon there with the house on top of it. That's East Caerlan. And it was up there in the latter part of January of 1884 that Dr. William Price undertook an event that really changed modern society. His young infant child, 5 months old, which he'd called Jesse Grist, Jesus Christ Price, had passed away, and he took the remains of the child to the top of East Caerlan late on a Sunday evening and performed a cremation of the body. Now, this was because Dr. William Price was a druid, and in fact, he'd thought that his firstborn son would be the new Messiah that would bring the druidic religion back as the main religion of Great Britain. But of course, it caused an absolute public outcry by cremating this child. They could see this blazing fire, something like Dante's Inferno happening up there, and the mob rushed to the top of the mountaintop and could see what he had done. Well, it resulted in a huge court case in the Glamorganshire Assizes in Cardiff, and in fact, it resulted after a 2-day trial in which Dr. Price managed to represent himself, and he said, you know, it's not right that a carcass should be allowed to decompose in this way because it has a great effect on the water and the air and the earth. And when the court case ended, he was acquitted of the charges against him of causing a public nuisance, being the major one, because what had actually happened is cremation really wasn't illegal in Britain, it just wasn't done. And the Cremation Society were looking for one landmark case really that could really lead their way to create an Act of Parliament, which eventually was passed in 1902. What is forgotten about Dr. Price, he fought on behalf of the working classes, he opened the first cooperative society in Britain, he tried to create a national health service, an embryonic health service, he wanted to build the first museum of Welsh life. He was someone who really did fight for the common man and was a brilliant scholar and surgeon. Dr. Price died in January of 1893. He was 92 years of age. He was laying on his couch. He'd lay there just for a few days. He hadn't been ill. And he turned to his lover, Gwen Llian Llewellyn, who, by the way, was almost 60 years younger than him. And she said, "Will you take some cider?" And he said, "No, please give me a glass of champagne." He drank his champagne and died in the arms of his lover. I think it was the most wonderful way to go for a man of 92, by which time she'd had three children by him as well.
Not surprisingly, Dr. Price wished to be cremated, which was duly granted in front of 20,000 people. Head uphill along George Street and listen to track 3 outside the white building displaying a blue plaque. On the way, you will pass the left-hand side of Model House, a place to avoid in the 1800s, as former Secretary of the Llantrisant History Society, Barry Davis, reveals.
It was the dreaded workhouse. Beadles were put in charge of this place. They didn't know these people and didn't care tuppence about them. And you didn't want to go there. People had a very hard time there. And there was no safety net, you see. You could be quite a prosperous person. You lose a leg or something and you can no longer work. There's nothing to fall back on.
Track 3, The Way House.
The Poisty was originally called the Angel Public House, but it's really known in the town because of its Welsh name Poisty, meaning weighing house. It was there, really, that where the markets and the fairs were held in Llantrisant. It's where the weights and measures were regulated to make sure there wasn't any dodgy dealings going on with the weight of cheese and quantity of milk and that kind of thing. So it was a very important building in its time.
It wasn't a grand court of law, it was a simple court under the rule of the steward of the lordship, and he would maintain order. And in short, particularly, the weights and measures were correct.
When Llantrisant was a bustling market town, the majority of trade took place on the site of the old police station, which stands to the left of a Poisty, as Barry Davis, Noel Israel and Dean Powell explain.
Where the police station now stands was a later market, which was specifically built by the Marquis of Bute in the 1850s, 60s.
It was a rectangular walled area. The wall was 12 feet high, so the stalls could be placed against it, and there was a huge archway, 10 foot high and 10 feet wide, to get into that.
This was the new market, because the market had been declining very severely down the years. This, the Marquis hoped, would improve it.
The trouble was with Llantrisant as well is that in the mid-19th century, Pontypridd became a very popular, vibrant community, you know, when the Glamorganshire Canal on the one side and the Taffy Railway with the other. Llantrisant was stripped of that privilege. Until then, it was the main market town, but gradually it lost its importance to Pontypridd. So, of course, with that land becoming vacant, the local constabulary opened their first police station in the town.
Head between a Poisty and the police station, through the gate and onto Castle Green. Walk to the blue plaque endowed Guild Hall, just a few metres ahead, and listen to track 4. Track 4, The Guild Hall. This building was used for the 100 Court, from which justice was dispensed. The Court of Leet, consisting of 12 jurors, could keep a watchful eye over proceedings to ensure nothing untoward was taking place.
Funny enough, the Guild Hall is a rebuild, which always brings a smile to my face when you consider modern-day rebuilding, but this was a 1773 rebuild, which makes it pretty old in itself. But it was rebuilt by Lady Windsor. She offered money to the Council of Freeman and the Court Leet to rebuild the Guild Hall because it had fallen to a state of disrepair.
But underneath, that was where the corn market was. And corn markets are very important years ago, you know. When the side of the town hall was built up, you know, I don't know, but originally when it was built in 1773, it was an open-sided thing at the bottom. So the corn market was next to the wall market. And markets were held every Friday throughout the year.
Since 1889, the Guild, or town hall, has been the home of the town's freemen.
Under the Royal Charter of 1346 that was presented to the people of Llantrisand by Hugh le Despenser, the Norman Lord of Glamorgan, it set out a certain area of land, of course, that was the ancient borough of Llantrisand, an area of about 7 miles right the way around. So an incredibly large area of the ancient borough that was in existence until 1889, when the Corporation Act came into being, and Llantrisand Town Trust was established then to look after the rights of the freemen. But throughout all those hundreds of years, the ancient borough existed within that boundary. Now, of course, the ancient borough was set up really to allow people who resided in the area to have the freedom to trade freely within that boundary area, hence the name, the free men. But of course, any other traders who wanted to trade within the boundary would have to pay for the privilege. And so it was established that a boundary walk would take place by the freemen to walk around that boundary to make sure nobody was trying to trade within their boundary area without paying the Norman Lord himself the tax to trade in the old ancient borough.
If you haven't already done so, you can read more about the boundary walk, known as Beating the Bounds, on the information panel at Stop 2, which you will pass again later. For now, head across Castle Green, pausing to read the stone monument on your right, and listen to track 5, Beside What Remains of This Castle. Track 5, Llantrisant Castle. The monument you have just passed pays testament to the courage shown by the Llantrisant longbowmen who fought the French at Crecy.
It was quite a phenomenal battle. The first time that archers were actually used in combat, and it really did change the whole kind of methodology of fighting, to be honest with you, on the battlefield. Well, the longbowmen of Llantrisant really went down in history. In fact, the people of the town are still called the Black Army because they fought for the Black Prince and defeated the King of Bohemia and stole his three feathers, which the Prince of Wales still uses to this day. So on their return, it's more likely that those veterans of Crecy were offered the first freemanship, really, of Llantrisant.
Conflict was rife in the town too during the 13th century.
Yeah, I always think of Llantrisant Castle as being a broken shard of a glass bottle, really, because it's only a very small amount of what was a military base here.
The castle was built about 1246. It's a tremendous location for defence. You can see all the Vale, and you can look up here to the north, and it's a wonderful thing for defence of the area.
You know, Llantrisant was almost like a frontier outpost for the Norman lords, to be honest with you, because when they did invade South Wales, Llantrisant was on the very cusp of their conquered land. They'd already conquered the Vale, but of course the valleys, really, anything up from the Rhondda towards Brecon, they couldn't quite penetrate, you know, and those were the kind of Welsh warriors that were still very much allegiance to the Welsh princes of Gwynedd. By the time the Normans came in the 12th century, they pretty much invaded and took over the town. They built a stone-defenced castle under Richard de Clare. He was the illegitimate son of Henry I, and he set up home here.
His wife was brought here, and she gave birth to a daughter in Llantrisant Castle in 1252.
And it was in existence for just over 100 years as a fighting castle, until about 1404, 1405, when it was either demolished by Owain Glyndŵr in his battles, or fell into disrepair when a period of stability really came to the people of South Wales.
You may like to take a slight detour now, by heading left and downhill to follow the perimeter of the castle, returning back to this point on Village Green. From here, we will head through the metal Kissing Gate, currently on your right, and follow the path between the stone walls to cross over the oldest street in the town, yr Allt. Listen to track 6 in the churchyard. Track 6, Llantrisant Parish Church.
Llantrisant Parish Church dominates the skyline wherever you are in the vicinity of this town, and in fact it was a visiting missionary that likened Llantrisant to Jerusalem, really, because of its positioning. And in fact, Llantrisant Town Trust still use a verse from Matthew that says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hid," which gives you an idea of what people thought of the range of the buildings and the majesty, really, of Llantrisant that overlooks its surrounding area. But Llansant Parish Church itself is a beautiful church. It really is. The interior is quite exquisite. But even from outside, you get to appreciate how wonderful it is. It was built as far back as the late 11th century. In fact, the font dates from 1096, and some of the masonry that still exists here today. You know, Llantrisson, unfortunately, did have a bit of a reputation for sickness and disease at one time. People were putting it down to the iron ore and the pits opening in the area that were creating some sort of dangerous vapours that the local physician noted in his diaries. But certainly we did have a smallpox epidemic, or several of them, during the 18th and 19th centuries. And in fact, there are a few gravestones just on the corner of the cemetery as you leave Llantrisson Church down towards Swan Street that say on the top of the tombstones, not to be reopened. Clearly because these were smallpox victims, and of course they didn't want to respread the disease by exhuming the bodies.
You may like to spend some time here to take in the tranquility and splendid views southwards, where on a clear day we can see across the Bristol Channel to Somerset and Devon in England. When you are ready, head to Main Gate in the northwest corner of the churchyard, where you will see a blue plaque on the cottages in Swan Street. Listen to track 7 here. Track 7, the parish workhouse.
The top four, the first four houses in Swan Street, were leased by the parish in the 1780s. Back in about 1740, parish councils were given the power to establish local workhouses to provide indoor relief in place of the normal outdoor relief. And outdoor relief was quite simply paying the rent for old widows and giving them a weekly allowance and, you know, buying shoes for them and stuff like that on occasions. It would have been a small-scale affair compared with the later union workhouses, of course. They appointed a couple of local ladies to run this. I am not suggesting for a moment that it was a bed of roses, but I think we can be pretty sure that it wasn't quite the harsh regime of the later union workhouses, if only because the people responsible for it would have known the inmates personally. Conditions wouldn't have been wonderful. One point that could be made is that when the contractor who was supposed to be supplying the corn for this workhouse bought a lot of rotten corn from somewhere, the committee responsible condemned this. They did not allow the inmates to be fed rotten corn. And he had to take this away, and they bought some decent... So, I mean, they were well-meaning, as, you know, people of the 18th century might have been, although their ideas of being kind to old people might not be quite match ours.
Turn right and head along Swan Street, with the church on your right. Safely listen to track 8 in the far right-hand corner of Swan Street car park, which is opposite the new inn. Track 8, the Court of Fives.
According to parish records, the local vicar of Llantrisson during the mid-18th century was getting rather annoyed at the amount of ball games being played against the church wall. And so they established one of the first five-ball courts in Llantrisson. One of them is now at the rear of what is Llantrisson Workingmen's Club.
The court is still there. It's not in a too bad a condition, you know. A lot of ivy on it, but none of the three walls are there.
The five courts, ball court really, in its sense, was an old version of modern-day squash.
But what it was known locally was Chwarapel, and it was a hard leather ball which they bounced against the walls with their hands. There was at one time a Methodist chapel beside it as well, but that has gone now, Zorobabel.
It was built actually by the Welsh-speaking followers of the Wesleyan movement, the Wesleyan chapel. In fact, you can still see gravestones against the wall of the car park commemorating those members of the congregation that worshipped here.
These gravestones are set within the left-hand wall as you exit the car park. Turn left to return back to Dr. William Price's statue.
A little bit further down Swansea, where the model house currently stands, where the union workhouse was, there was a tunnel, even up until the 1980s, linking Swan Street and George Street on the opposite side. And in 1851, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Harrison, a 20-year-old man, was allegedly shot dead in the tunnel there. And after a large-scale murder case, they did discover that the culprit was a man called Edward Barber, who was a civil engineer from Llantrisant House, the large manor house on the approach to Llantrisant on Southgate. So something of a grisly tale there in the tunnel of the old Union Workhouse.
If those walls could talk, no doubt many more grisly tales would be revealed. Arriving back at the Bullring, remember to read the panel if you haven't already done so. When you are ready, turn left at the Bear Inn to return back to the start of the walk.